Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our lunch and learn, and we are studying Parshat Noach. And we're going to move quickly past the flood and to see what type of changes may have been incorporated into the world post-flood. And we have a very interesting Rambam, Midrash, a really, really cool comment by Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. So let's get right to it. Let's turn to page 14 in the Tanakh. And this is post-flood. After the flood, God says, page 15, after the flood, God says to Noach, well, let's back up. We're going to be in Pasuk 20. Vayiven Noach mizbeach la'Hashem, vayikach mikola behema ha'torah, mikola ofa tahor, vayal olot ba'mizbeach. Noach built an altar, and he brought burnt offerings to God. Vayarach Hashem et reach hanichoach, vayomer Hashem elibo, lo osif lekalel od et ha'adama bavor adam, ki yetzer lev adam rami ne'urav, v'lo osif od lehakot et kol chai kasher asiti. God smelled the pleasing odor. This is a really interesting pasuk. It really turns God. It really has a lot of anthropomorphic notions. It really gives God a lot of human qualities. He smells the pleasing odor. He says something to himself. And never again shall I doom the earth because of man, since the devisings of man's mind are evil from his youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living being as I have done. And now we get to the pasuk we're going to start. We're going to focus on Od Kol Yemei Haaretz Zera V'Katzir V'Kor V'Chom V'Kayetz V'Choref V'Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbotu. So long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Just page 15, reading per verse 22. Okay, so there is an assumption in verse 22, which I want to spend some time on. What is the assumption of verse 22?
It was a smell from the...
22. Verse 22. What is the assumption in verse 22?
Well, there's the possibility that the earth may not endure.
Yes. Is that what you were saying, Daniel? The possibility that the earth will not endure forever. Right? Od kol yemei haaretz. So long as the earth endures, then there'll be a seed time and a harvest time, seasons, day and night, but it's possible this pasuk leaves open the possibility that the world is one day going to cease to exist, right? And so I want to spend some time on that.
Why do you see that? Because lo
should be... Od kol yemei haaretz.
It should say kol yemei.
Right, Ode leaves open the possibility. This is a good translation here. So long as the earth endures, lo yishpotu, these things will not cease. But if there's no world, then there's no seasons, there's no day, there's no night, presumably, right? So this is a very interesting thing, which Rambam felt he needed to...
Is this the thing that is telling us why all of a sudden the earth, the people, intelligence of the people of the world is already making spacecrafts and things of that nature to escape.
Where?
No, that, I mean, it's alluding to that.
Where?
From what you just said.
No, we're just saying this verse opens the possibility
that
the world will no longer exist at one point. It doesn't say anything about going to another planet.
I'm talking about a Christian way of thinking, is that the earth, that the Hashem is speeding up the our knowledge to go someplace else.
I don't know where you find that in this verse.
It's just that the earth is not going to exist forever.
Right. So what is how does that connect to going somewhere else?
Because we would have to escape.
Or just die. So I don't see a drawing from there. It says it leaves open the possibility of the earth not existing forever, which the Rambam felt he needed to dedicate a full chapter in his Mor Nevuchim for.
A quick question: didn't Yom V'Layla Hashem created that first before the land?
Yeah.
So it already day and night.
No, but the world was created. Bereish Yisrael Elokim Hashemayim et Haaretz. The world existed. And then all the other things came afterwards. So if the world ceased to exist, then these other things would cease to exist. Let's see what the Rambam says.
Yeah, but would we discuss the Pasuk before that?
We'll see.
That's what bothers me.
We'll see. We may have time to get back to that. So we'll have to discuss what bothers you next year. This year, this bothered me. Next year, maybe what bothers you will bother me, and we'll do it next year.
I agree with her.
The good news is...
It tells me that God is not... God is vegetarian.
But one second, hold on. Shula, this is all over the Torah, right? When we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim, Biyad Chazakah. Right, the, all over the Torah we have the personification of God.
It's not what bothers me, the personification.
Yeah.
But what was in the smell that intrigued him to feel the way he felt?
Ah.
Is it a bad smell? Is it a good smell?
Well, for God it was good. It says, Riach Nichoach, it was pleasing. Yeah. Okay, so the good news is,
nothing like
good assuming harvest. That the earth continues to exist for one more year, which now we're not so sure about, right? Uh-huh. We will be back to Parshat Noach in exactly 1 year from now, and we will come back to that question, maybe. But let's see what the Rambam says, because we may not be around next year, according to what the Torah says. Od kol yemei haaretz. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then. So let's see what the Rambam says. Because first of all, he reminds us that we have a certain fundamental dogma of faith, right? That is, God created the world. That, Rambam says, is required belief. But that's where it stops in terms of what we have to believe about the world. We have already stated that the belief in the creation is a fundamental principle of our religion. That we know. It's an ikar ha'emunah, what the Rambam calls. Right? That God created the world. But we do not consider it a principle of our faith that the universe will again be reduced to nothing. Right? Meaning, notwithstanding this pasuk, right, we don't necessarily need to believe one way or the other. It's not a principle of our faith that the universe will again be reduced to nothing. It is not contrary to the tenets of our religion to assume that the universe will continue to exist forever. It is not contrary. Maybe it will exist forever. It might be objected that everything produced is subject to destruction, as has been shown. Consequently, the universe, having had a beginning, must come to an end. This axiom cannot be applied according to our views. We do not hold that the universe came into existence like all things in nature as a result of the laws of nature, for whatever owes its existence to the action of physical laws is, according to the same laws, subject to destruction. Right? That's that all things which are made will eventually cease to exist. The same law which caused the existence of a thing after a period of non-existence is also the cause that the thing is not permanent, since the previous non-existence proves that the nature of the thing does not necessitate its permanent existence. Rambam's trying to make a logical claim. The fact that an apple did not exist, this particular apple did not exist, 6 months ago, proves that that's not going to exist in 6 months from now. It's going to rot, and eventually it's going to decompose. According to our theory taught in Scripture, the existence or non-existence of things depends solely on the will of God, and not on fixed laws, and therefore it does not follow that God must destroy the universe after having created it from nothing. It depends on his will. He may, according to his desire or according to the decree of his wisdom, either destroy it or allow it to exist, and it is therefore possible he will preserve the universe forever and let it exist permanently as he himself exists. I don't know if we've ever thought of that before. Right? Is the world going to last forever or not? The Rambam says, we don't know, but it's certainly possible that the world is going to last forever. There's no obligation on us to believe that the world is going to cease to exist at one point or another.
Correct. And you can you can have that interpretation also if you say Ot Kol Yemei Haaretz, it actually belongs to the previous pasuk, and stop there, and then read it this way.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
What did you say?
Okay.
What did you say?
No, but Ot Kol Yemei Haaretz still, but that would still leave open the possibility because what it's saying is then no, but what you would say is the previous pasuk says never again will I doom the earth because of man, etc., etc., as long as the earth endures.
Period.
Which means the earth may not endure. No matter where you put that statement, it opens up the possibility that the earth is not going to. You can't take the ode and put it in parentheses. Move Kol Yemei Haaretz where you want it and leave ode. You have to move ode Kol Yemei Haaretz. So if you move ode Kol Yemei Haaretz to the end of that pasuk, it's saying I'm never going to do these things again as long as the earth endures. So it doesn't change anything. It still leaves open the possibility, right, that the world is not going to exist. Okay, let's finish the Rambam, and then we'll see another opinion. In short, reasoning leads to the conclusion. Now, the continuation of the bracket. I skipped some, and I'm back to the continuation of the bracket. In short, reasoning leads to the conclusion that the destruction of the universe is not a certain fact. There remains only the question as to what the prophets and our sages say on this point, whether they affirm that the world will certainly come to an end or not. Most people amongst us believe that such statements have been made and that the world will at one time be destroyed. I will show you that this is not the case, and that on the contrary, many passages in the Bible speak of the permanent existence of the universe. These passages, which in the literal sense would indicate the destruction of the universe, maybe like our verse, are undoubtedly to be understood in a figurative sense, as will be shown. This is a classic strategy of the Rambam. Right? If something the Rambam finds in the Torah does not meet his standards of logic, he'll say it's figurative, which also explains the Reach Nichoach, Vayomer Hashem El Libo, right? All those things are not to be taken literally. They're to be taken figuratively. If, however, those who follow the literal sense of the scriptural text reject our view and assume that the ultimate certain destruction of the universe is part of their faith, they are at liberty to do so. This is interesting. He's saying, I don't care. You want to believe that the earth is going to live, is going to be forever? That's what I think. You want to believe that the world is going to be destroyed? Okay. It's because it's not a fundamental of faith. It doesn't really make a difference. You have to believe that God created the world. What's going to happen afterwards? Doesn't make it, right? If, however, those who will follow the literal sense of the scripture text reject our view and assume that the ultimate certain destruction of the universe is part of their faith, they are at liberty to do so. But we must tell them that the belief in the destruction is not necessarily implied in the belief of the creation. To believe it because they trust the writer who used a figurative expression, which they take literally. Their faith, however, does not suffer by it, meaning they're not a heretic. If you believe that the world is going to be destroyed, it doesn't mean you're a heretic. Rambam says, I think the world is going to last forever. But if you believe it's going to be destroyed, okay, you're wrong, right? You're wrong, but it doesn't make you a heretic, right? There are some things the Rambam would tell you you're not entitled to believe, right? You're not entitled to believe that the world existed forever. You have to believe that at one point there was no world and God created the world. If you don't believe that, you're a heretic. But you don't have to believe that the world is going to exist forever. Kofir. Kofir, right? You don't have to believe that the world...
Kofir.
Excuse me, Kofir.
Okay.
You don't have to believe that the world will exist forever. If you like to take these verses literally, harashut biyado, you have permission to do so, and again, it doesn't change your status. So this is really a very interesting question, certainly to be looked at when we first start Sefer Bereshit. Right, we spend so much time on in Parshat Bereshit about the creation of the world. We don't really spend much time thinking about what's going to happen with the destruction of the world. And the Rambam says, well, maybe we don't spend time thinking about it because it doesn't really matter. It has no, religious or theological ramification. Doesn't matter. Okay, that's the Rambam. Let's look at another opinion. By the way, this is an opinion which is echoed by the Ibn Ezra, which I didn't bring for you, but we have it in the Midrash. Okay, we have the Midrash. Turn to page 4 before we go to page 3. I did it backwards. Go to page 4. Page 4, on the left side, it says, Od kol yemei ha'aretz zera v'katsir v'kor v'chom, where it says number 11. Everyone with me?
Oh.
Anyone not have it? Left side of the top of the page. So this is a quote from the Pasuk. Continuously, all the days of the earth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat shall not cease. The Midrash cites a statement that is rooted in a homiletical interpretation of a verse. Rabbi Yudin b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Yudin said the name Rabbi Shmuel. Masvurim b'nei Noach. Shebritan kiruta omedet la'ad. Elakol zman she'ashamayim v'aretz kayamin, britan kayamet. What do the Noachites think? That their covenant with God is sealed and standing forever? This is not the case. Rather, only for as long as the heavens and the earth exist does their covenant exist. L'kesheyavo oto yom shekatuv bo, ki shamayim ke'ashan nimlachu v'aretz kabeged tivleh. This is another verse which seems to back up the view that the earth will cease to exist. When the day comes regarding which it is written, for the heavens will dissipate like smoke and the earth will wear out like a garment. Those are the verses that the Rambam is talking about, that if you want to take them literally, you're going to be left with the impression that the world is going to cease to exist. Boto sha'av atupar bayomahu. At that time, the following verse will be fulfilled. So my covenant that I have sealed with the peoples became annulled on that day. So this is a midrash which seems to indicate what the Rambam was talking about, that there's a school of thought, right, that believes that the world will in fact cease to exist. And again, the Ibn Ezra commenting on this phrase, Od kol yemei ha'aretz, one of the classic commentaries on the Torah, says, from here we learn that the world is going to cease to exist. So the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam disagreed. And the Ibn Ezra, I believe, was a little earlier than the Rambam. The Ibn Ezra and the Rambam disagreed as to how to understand this pasuk. The Ibn Ezra said, we take this pasuk at face value. It means the world's going to cease to exist. The Rambam says, no, we take it like so many other verses in the Torah figuratively, but again, the Ibn Ezra is not a heretic for believing the world is going to cease to exist.
Is the world will exist, will stop to exist because that's the nature of the creation, or it's because of the behavior of the people?
That's a good question. The only thing that the Rambam is willing to say for sure will be God's choice. Meaning God will decide whether the world's going to come to an end or not. Maybe he built it in to, you know, it's pre-programmed, right? This message will self-destruct. Remember it's Mission Impossible?
I mean, it says that, I mean, God says, never again will I doom the earth because of man. So right. He's not going to destroy.
Right. We don't know, meaning, but the Rambam's clear, though, doesn't have to happen. Meaning, it's not like an apple that has to decompose. God made the world from nothing, and therefore it doesn't play by the rules of nature. The existence of the universe doesn't play by the rules of nature. Everything else does, because those other things were made from pre-existing things, wherein there is a built-in rule that nothing lasts forever, right? We come back in 1,000 years, this table also. You know, if we leave it here and don't touch it for, you know, 1,000 years, it presumably will come back and this table will also, you know, not be in the same condition that it is now.
He's making the rules of nature.
God created the rules of nature, but the rules of nature, the Rambam's saying, don't apply to things that came before there was nature. Right? Okay.
So what came before the rules of nature?
God. And the one thing that God created, the universe. And then things in the universe are subject to the laws of nature, but not the universe itself. It seems that that's what the Rambam is saying. But here, midrash raises another question, right? Isn't it obvious that if the world ceases to exist, that the Brit with the Bnei Noach is not going to exist, right? If you and I have a treaty and then we both die, obviously our treaty doesn't. So what is the midrash talking about? That the Brit with Bnei Noach, right, only applies as long as there's a world. But if there's no world, the Brit doesn't apply. That seems obvious.
Maybe that's what Ron was referring to earlier. We're going to be on another planet.
But that's still a world. That's still the world. Doesn't mean Earth. We're talking about the universe.
Okay.
Right? There's nowhere to go. If the God destroys the universe, there's nowhere to escape to. Right? So here there's a fascinating commentary on the Midrash, which is on page 3, which throws a whole nother wrinkle into this. Top of page 3, this is only available in Hebrew. I put the bracket, it's on the right side, right over here. There's a little Yud Aleph in the top right corner, right? Od Kol Yemei Haaretz, etc. Shehu Nidrash Lishelifanav Shamar Lo Osif Od Lahakot Kol Chai Shezel Lo Ye Ela Od Kol Yemei Haaretz Hazot Buvad. This is sort of what Yitzchak was saying. The previous verse that we're not going to destroy the world, that only applies Kol Yemei Haaretz, right? He's also sort of moving that verse, half a verse. That only applies as long as the earth exists. V'lo la'atid bizman chidusha achar bitula. That's amazing, right? The rules that God put in place now only apply in this universe. But if God destroys it and creates a new one, all bets are off. Right, right, right. It only applies to this world. But this midrash is opening up the possibility to... To and not only that, but then God will just create a new one. Yes, he did. V'lo latid bizman chidusha achar bitula. She'az yitbatel gam brit noach. Right? That's really interesting. There's nowhere to go to, but presumably, or I don't know, I'm not sure. It's hard to understand exactly how this would play out, you know, what the plan would look like. But this helps us understand the Midrash. Of course, the brit between God and Bnei Noach is going to cease to exist. But even if God would destroy the world and create a new one, any previous agreement is null and void. So that's another very interesting point here. And now one final thing about the world having as being different post-flood, pre-flood. This is from Rav Simchon Raphael Hirsch. We'll just look at 2 points. Because to Rav Hirsch, let's read the pasuk first. Let's go back into the text. We're going to be on page 5 in the packet, but now we're going to be in the text on page 15 in the Chumash. So let's go back to verse 22. Kol od yemei haaretz, as long as the world exists, right? Zera v'katsir v'kor v'chom v'kaitz v'char v'yom v'lai lo yishpotu. All these natural things are not going to cease. So, why is this verse here? What's it doing here? I mean, doesn't this verse maybe belongs in Bereshit? Mm-hmm. When I had the Briyat Olam, God should have said, I made the world in 7 days, here's what I made in each day, I want you to know there's going to be seasons.
To the laws of nature. The laws of nature will continue as long as the earth is...
Excellent. So Yitzchak is saying, this pasuk is telling us, these laws of nature were in play. Then we had the Mabul, which destroyed everything. But now that the Mabul's over, the flood is over, we're back to our winter, summer, day and night. Yes? Right, we have... Right.
What is there a suggestion that he could bring another destruction, but that the laws of nature will remain in place?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but Hirsch sees it differently. Hirsch says as follows. Look on page 5. This is very interesting. Page 5, where his commentary is on verse 22, it's sort of in the middle. I bracketed it. This is usually taken to mean that during the time of the flood, the ordinary course of time, day and night, and seasons were disturbed. And here the resolution is declared that just as altogether there will not be another general destruction, so also the regular course of time will not again be disturbed. That is the way this pasuk is understood. This assumes that in the antediluvian period, this change of seasons as we know it now is already existence. Right? That's how we just understood it. The assumption antediluvian means pre-flood. Lifnei hamabul. The assumption is before the flood, there was summer and there was winter, there was harvest and there was planting.
It's an order.
Okay? There was an order, right.
And he said the order will come back.
Right. But Hirsch says, no, this is not true. This tradition, which had been handed down to us, however, speak against this supposition. Judaism teaches us something else. That the seasons did not exist pre-flood. Skip the parentheses. According to Rabbi Yitzchak and Bereshit Rabbah, before the flood, the fields had only to be cultivated every 40 years. As eternal springtime reigned, the seasons never changed. Hayalahem avir yafeh, kimin ha-pesach ad ha-tzeret. It was perfect weather. Between Passover and Shavuot, 49-day period. Even in Houston, it's nice during that period of time, right? That's the way it was every day. It was like, I guess, perpetually living in California, right? It was always nice. The temperature was constant and moderate, and the continents were not split asunder, so that there was easy communication throughout the world. That's a little questionable, but nonetheless. The seasons of the year mentioned in our verse here are there definitely declared to have been fresh post-diluvian innovations. Mikan va'elach zera v'katsir. That's what the Midrash says. When this verse says, Od kol yemei ha'aretz, it means from now on. Meaning, before the Mabul, for some reason, there were no seasons. No seasons. Now, for some reason, God decides he needs to make seasons. Hirsch is going to explain why. Now, after the Mabul, something changed in God's mind. He decides he wants there to be summer, winter, spring, fall, day, night, hot, cold, humid, snow, rain, hail, you name it. But before the flood, it wasn't like that. Mikan ve'elach zera v'katsir. So that when, this is funny, so that when Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman suffered from headaches in thundery weather, he jokingly said, Chazi ma'avid landara ha'mabula. See what we have to thank the age of the flood for. Right, before the flood, you didn't catch a cold because it wasn't cold outside. It was always nice weather, like between Pesach and Shavuot. Now we have to take a flu shot because of the flood. Okay? So here, this is very interesting, right? We read these psukim, we always think it means we had seasons. Then we had a disruption in the force called the Mabul, and now we're back to the regular. Says Hirsch, no. We have Midrashim, and our tradition tells us before the flood, it was the whole world was like Gan Eden. It was never too hot, never too cold, no one got sick, right? But now there are. So now what's the point of this, right? What's the point of this? So let's turn to page 6. This is really an amazingly creative thing from Rav Hirsch. Why was the earth destroyed? Why did God destroy the world in the Mabul? People were guilty of it says Vatishachet Aretz Avnei Elokim Vatimaleh Aretz Chamas. People were just corrupt and there was violence. So
but why destroy the whole earth? Why not just destroy?
Okay, Hirsch touches on that, but I have a more fundamental question. Yitzchak's question is good. Why not just kill the bad people? Here's, I think, that's a good question. But I think before that, we have to ask the question, how is it possible there were so many bad people? Right? So many bad, vatimalei ha'aretz, vatishachei ta'aretz, which may indicate the whole land. And it was full. But where did it happen? How did it happen that there were so many bad people?
Well, there was no law.
There was some law. There was... But people had no inherent sense of right and wrong? Oh, is that the only reason? So you're saying the only reason people don't steal is because they'll get arrested?
Maybe God's version 1 was not good enough.
Yeah, but how did it happen? That's true. But how did it happen?
Also, why did they have to destroy the world? They could have destroyed just the people.
Yes, that's a good question. But I think this question comes first. How did we get to this state? How did we get to the state that the world was full, but to Malay, the world was full of bad people? You know what Rav Hirsch says?
Just they had it so good.
People were living too long. And the people were just, all the bad people kept living and living and living. Why? Because there were no seasons. No one got sick. No one died. And all the bad, and he makes an assumption. Right.
California don't live 999.
He makes an assumption, Rav Hirsch, that young people are born good and maybe with a certain sense of idealism, and then as you get older and older and older, you get more corrupt, and there's no room for the good people, who are the young people, to make their mark. It's a very creative thing, which is now we understand why God had to change the seasons. God needed people to die so that young people would have the opportunity, right? Dor holech v'dor ba. It's fascinating. I think there are some holes in the theory, but it's an interesting idea. Let's just look at it. Page 6. The earth until then also had experienced change, but these changes came one after another. To educate the existing generation, God had repeatedly brought catastrophes of lack of blessing on the earth, adversity, which came suddenly. But still at the end, In the centuries before the flood, everything was still in perpetual blossom. The people were rich and grew old. They were luxurious. Hamas grew. They were all old Rishayim. Until in face of the culminated Hashkachat Derech, the corruption of the way, and Hamas, and the violence, the merciful, compassionate God could do nothing but bring sudden universal destruction. This is not to occur again. All the different changes in the nature of the earth, which hitherto God had suddenly effected, the changes of blossoming and withering, of growing and of dying off, the paradise-like wafting of the balmy air of spring, and the icy chill of the piercing, congealing cold, all of these henceforth shall be always in existence. Sowing and reaping, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, henceforth shall always be on earth at the same time, shall never cease to work, lo yishpotu. Right? Let's continue on page 7. This greater and quicker change in the conditions of life also shortened the duration of life, which very soon after the flood sunk to its present level, which it has since remained. Continuing with the brackets, with this curtailment of the length of life, a great barrier is imposed to the possibility of human evil gaining the upper hand permanently. Even the mightiest tyrant cannot wield the scepter much more than 70 years. Finally, it is thereby even today still a fact that Mipi Olulim V'Yonkim Yasadeta Oz, that God can establish his kingdom on the mouths of children and babes, not on the cleverness of the old, but on the undisturbed purity of mind and innocence of childhood and youth he has founded his kingdom. With the birth of every child, an angel enters the world, but as long as the bad ones reach their 700 to 800 years, a better youth did not get a chance. In this new shortness of life, God can make a generation die out quickly and a better one grow up in its place. So this change of seasons was not only a change of seasons, it also represents a change of lifespan, or causes a change of lifespan, so that old people don't live too long. So that they can only do so much damage, and that they eventually die.
Even if they're good.
Abraham, Yaakov, Yitzchak, they all lived after the Mabul. Hmm? Okay.
Yeah, but not as long as these pre-Mabul years.
Terach was after the Mabul of Abraham, right?
After the Mabul, yeah.
205 years.
Right, correct. But not 500, 600, 800. Yeah, but they're shorter. They are significantly shorter. If you look in Bereshit, right, that's when you have really, really... But they are shorter. You're right. 200 years is still a long time for a tyrant to be around. But maybe, I don't know. And now, at one point, we were going through a stage where lifespan was getting less and less. And now we're in a stage where lifespan is getting more and more. So I don't know what that means in terms of how Hirsch would interpret. Does God think that we're much better now? So we're able to live longer.
The end of the earth is coming.
Right. If the end of the earth is coming, none of this really matters anyway. One other point, by the way. This is really neat. If we add, bottom of page 7, if we add to this diversity of individuals, the still greater diversity of nations, which the new arrangements for the earth affected, and also the natural hindrance to communication brought about by the division of the earth into continents and countries, which will only be slowly overcome after thousands of years, if we think how thereby for thousands of years no degeneration spread universally all over the world. Right? Remember we had the Midrash that said at one point the earth was all connected, there were no continents, you were able to go from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth easily, but then something happened, right? And the continent, we know the continents separated at one point. That Hirsch too says was part of God's plan to diminish the power of evil. Because if you have an evil people in Africa, they're not going to be able to spread their evil ideas to Europe or to Asia, or you know, you pick a continent, right? So that's also part of his, the lifespans are shortened and it's harder for us to travel. Now all these things are being reversed, so it's interesting. But this is his take. Slowly overcome a thousand of years. If we think, however, therefore, for thousands of years, no degeneration spread universally over the world, and how just as in the quicker change of the generations in the individuals, so thereby the wider development of the history of nations was started, in which new nations with fresh, unvitiated powers always take the place of degenerated and enervated ones. Then, With this verse, everything is said by which God states a completely new phase in the development of the education of mankind. If, says God, the endeavors of mankind are bad, and even from youth are directed to evil, I will not, as I've done before, for man's own sake, disturb the earth and bring about universal destruction, but will rather arrange that all the contrast of the times and days and years henceforth shall be present and working simultaneously of the earth. So this is interesting. So could you, if you read the verse, right, how is God going to control evil if he promises never to destroy the whole world again? Now we know the evil people eventually will die, and people are so spread out that hopefully the evil will not be able to travel so quickly. Now that we live in a global village again, who knows what the next plan is going to be, right? But these are some just really interesting things. So let's just quickly review. This notion in the Rambam, he believes the earth will last forever. But if you want to believe the earth is going to eventually come to an end, which seems to be what's indicated in our Pasuk and other Pasukim, you can. It doesn't affect your status as a card-carrying believer, because all we have to believe is that God created the world, not that he's going to destroy the world. The notion of the Midrash seems to indicate that the world will come to an end, but may eventually be recreated. And then this question of were there seasons before the flood, or were the seasons only introduced after the flood? As a way to control humanity from the evil people living too long and being able to spread their evil ways. And the same thing, Hirsch says, explains why the continents split, which also created separate cultures, so that if a negative culture rises up somewhere else, a positive culture could rise up and not be necessarily negatively influenced by the bad guys.
But the concept of Olam Haba didn't exist then.
I don't know about that. This is how God controls Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba, I think, is a separate question.
So this commentary almost kind of predates the Bible.
This
kind of leads into.
Yes, correct. Right, so we see what happened. After this comes the Tower of Babel. And so what did God do in the Tower of Babel instead of destroying everyone? He dispersed them. And he changed their language so they couldn't collaborate towards evil. That's exactly what he's... Exactly, yeah. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day.
You too.